Governor Scott Walker says the arena funding negotiations in Milwaukee are fluid. And this hour, we'll wonder which way you want it to flow. Should taxpayers help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena? A little, a lot, or at all? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 2nd. We'll talk with three different guests throughout the hour about the latest negotiations. And we will welcome your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up, Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee will make the case for public financing. And a guest columnist, Bruce Murphy, will explain why he says the latest plan needs to be rejected at the end of the hour. We will start with Chuck Wormbach, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee, who's been covering the arena story. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Joy.
So, well, what does Governor Walker mean when he says the negotiations are fluid?
Well, he didn't go into great detail. This was in Delavan yesterday morning, shortly before he caught a flight to explore more his possibility of running for president. He left for Georgia and Florida not long after, speaking to a Boys and Girls Club and then the news media in Delavan. He just said that, like a lot of state budget processes near the end, there's a lot of uncertain things that are being worked out, various proposals and deals and all sorts of things. So we don't quite know what he means, but he thought maybe something would happen yet this week.
Yeah, I read that he was hoping that a plan would be revealed by the end of the week. Can you, without maybe getting too eye-glazing about it, what are the basic terms of the latest proposal that we know about?
Well, from what especially the Milwaukee Journal and others have been reporting, is that the state would borrow somewhere around $55 million to go towards this project. There'd be $200 million or less than that up front from the Wisconsin Center District through things like rental car fees, restaurant fees, and other taxes. And there'd be about $47 million from the city of Milwaukee in terms of a new parking structure and tax incremental financing. And then finally, this rather complex thing, it's probably the most interesting part, is where the state of Wisconsin would take over debt owed to Milwaukee County, and which is a lot of its property tax revenue to the county. People haven't paid taxes for various reasons, and the state would take over a bunch of that and do things like grab some of people's income, their check, and make sure that money goes into arena financing. It's all, again, none of the officials have come forward saying this. Not much has been said on the record about this, at least for attribution. But that's what it seems to be, and that's been reported now for several days, and things quite haven't been worked out, whether it's related to this proposal itself or whether people are making deals with other parts of the state budget, like the transportation funding, which we know is up for grabs, too. Whether there's some horse trading going on, if you will, I don't quite know.
Yeah. So how much are the owners ponying up?
Well, this would again be about half of the upfront $500 million would be from either the current Bucks owners, these three multimillionaires or billionaires that own the team, and then Herb Kohl, the former U.S. Senator, former Bucks owner, would also put up a bunch of money. So about $250 million total from the current and former owners, which is a lot in some people's mind, but others say that at least these current owners have much more in their checkbook and could put up more. So I think that's a part of the debate. Yet we'll hear yet a little bit more.
Yeah. So what does this mean for local taxes in Milwaukee, if anything?
Well, Mayor Barrett late last week told several reporters, including myself, that he was leaning towards this because there'd be no additional property tax. Governor Walker has said no new state taxes. Some have said, well, wait a minute, if you extend or start using eventually this Wisconsin Center rental car and hotel fees and so on, if you start using that towards the pile of money that's needed, isn't that at least an extended tax? The Milwaukee Miller Park baseball stadium, people in the five counties are still paying a relatively small sales tax addition, and that ballpark has been open 13, 14 years, and that tax hasn't quite sunsetted yet. So there are taxes. A lot of the rental and hotel fees are paid by tourists, but there are also some local folks who make use of these facilities, and they pay in too.
Yeah. So how does this current plan differ from what Governor Walker originally proposed in the state budget?
Well, yeah, he made a big, extensive presentation at the Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce a few months ago talking about this, and seemed to have it wired that the state would borrow $220 million. The business leaders seem to be in line with that, but then state lawmakers and others started giving him some feedback, and at least one poll said, basically farther away from Milwaukee, no sale. People didn't like that at all, and that there should be no support. So it's been whittled down from this $220 million to now $55 million, or some are saying $80 million if you include all the interest over time.
Yeah. So what's the big deal if we just borrowed the whole shebang like that? What do critics say that? What's the problem with that, Chuck?
Well, it just, as I say, it extends things over time. It's like, do you want to buy a $500,000 home, or do you want to buy a $300,000 home or a $100,000 home? How much time do you want to spend and resources paying back that loan? Some people are saying enough. There's still the anti-sports and anti-public spending sentiment. Some folks from both ends of the spectrum, don't want money spent on sports at all, and they're saying, no, that's enough. We don't want any more. The Bradley Center is only about 27 years old. It's largely in good shape. There's a lot of maintenance work that needs to be done, officials say, but it is in a very existing and presentable facility, and some people are saying, why don't they stay there? The owners of the club saying, no, we need it reconfigured, we need more of this, more of that, probably more higher-priced seats to pay the bills.
Yeah, and the NBA is even saying they might move the franchise if improvements aren't made?
Yeah, there's this threat out there. It's possible. I don't know if people put a lot of stock in it, but it's helped keep the timetable going. Governor Walker seems to think it's a possibility. He's been saying that we need to get done, that what the revenues and the benefits to the city and the state will be over time will be larger than what we would have if the Bucks left. These are wealthy owners. They could work out deals elsewhere and go. It's a possibility. But there's time and there's deadlines, and then there are flexible deadlines. So it seems like as long as there's this engaged process of attempted a deal, it seems like that would satisfy the NBA.
Yeah. Paul on Facebook says, public financing of an arena to be owned and operated by private billionaires should be rejected without financial guarantees for the community and the working people who live there. Are there guaranteed benefits to the community from a new arena, Chuck?
Well, there's the presumption, like in buying a house, you presume it will bring benefits to yourself and your family, right? With the arena, the presumption of continued jobs, there's been some debate now whether it be expansion of jobs, certainly there would be of construction jobs, or whether the people that use bars in one part of the area would just move to different bars if there was new entertainment venues added to a new arena. So there would be presumed benefits.
And we'll leave it there because we have news coming up. Thank you very much, Chuck, for being with us.
Thank you.
Chuck Hornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee, who has been covering the arena story. Coming up after the news, we'll welcome in Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, Lena Taylor, a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will be taking up the Bucks Arena proposal sometime soon. And we will hear from her. She will make the case for some public financing of this new Milwaukee Bucks Arena. Then after we talk with Senator Taylor, we will talk with Bruce Murphy, who says that the current deal, the one that's being reported anyway, ought to be rejected. And we wonder what you think. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Talks over how to pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena are fluid, according to Governor Scott Walker. And he says the reported proposal to split the $500 million cost between taxpayers and current and former team owners is not an absolute conclusion. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the latest on the Bucks Arena negotiations and about this issue in general. Do you think taxpayers should help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks Arena? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Lena Taylor, a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee. She is the ranking Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will be taking up the Bucks Arena financing issue soon. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you with us. So when will you be taking up the Bucks Arena financing issue, do you think?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Joy. We have no idea. We've not been told, and to be very candid with you, I've not seen the plan that the GOP has helped to negotiate to this point. But from the little bit that I've heard about in the news, it seems that we will be doing it this week when we meet on finance, and we're anticipating that that may be Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Now, instead of the original proposal of borrowing the $220 million for a new arena, Chuck Hornbach, our reporter based in Milwaukee, said the reported plan now is to borrow. The state would borrow $55 million. Another $200 million would come from hotel motel taxes in Milwaukee and the like. And the owners would be covering half of this $500 million. The current owners and former owner Herb Cole, and then there's another complicated state taking over the debt owed to Milwaukee County, like from delinquent property taxes and the like. So would you generally support or oppose that plan that's being reported?
Well, let's start by saying the Bucks are, you know, an extremely important part of Milwaukee. And I've supported the Bucks since I was a little girl and I was cheering for them and my uncle was a water boy, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I definitely support them. I see the economic benefit for a stadium or not a stadium, an arena being built in downtown Milwaukee area. And I do understand the benefit for the state. So right now the state holds the responsibility for the Bradley Center, and we would be stuck holding the responsibility for the Bradley Center if the Bucks stay or if they don't. If we didn't build the new arena, they'd be leaving. So I support rolling up our sleeves and doing what we need to make it possible so that this economic development opportunity where the owners have brought a quarter of, you know, $1 million or $250 million, I'm sorry, to the table between them and former owner Herb Cole, our former U.S. senator, So I don't think you can get that kind of individuals coming to the table and giving that kind of investment up front. So I support that concept, Joy, but it has to be not only fiscally responsible for the state of Wisconsin, but it also has to be fair and just for the Milwaukee taxpayers also. So that is the part, and those details are the part that I'm not fully clear with. And just to correct some of the details that you have provided, just if I could help with that a little bit.
Sure.
So presently, the state of Wisconsin has the responsibility and basically has, you know, signed the note, for lack of a better way to say it, for the Bradley Center. Think about it as you own your own home. And if you and you're married and you own your own home and someone, you divorce, and someone has to have the house, you or your former spouse, you have to refinance that house in order for one of you not to be obligated anymore, responsible anymore. Well, that's kind of the situation that the state is in. This isn't just about doing something for Milwaukee. The state has an obligation because they kind of signed the note, for lack of a better way to say it. In this next deal, the state isn't signing the note. The state is able to shift the burden, so to say, to locally, to Milwaukee, the city, to the county, as well as to the Wisconsin Center District. And the reason that that is important is because, one, it frees up the statewide obligation. Second, it allows different entities to all play a part. So $150 million, I'm sorry, the owners are bringing to the table. $100 million, Herb Kohl is bringing to the table. Those are the original amounts that they stated. The $85 million in debt reduction is county debt that they're saying the state will take over trying to get it collected. Now, that concerns me because it's kind of putting it on the back of the poor or those individuals who are financially strapped already. And so what kind of debt will that be? What will happen if that $85 million isn't collected? Who will pay that? And what mechanism will that be? I know none of those details. Mm-hmm. About $800 is the amount that will come from the Center District Board, or maybe it was $85 from the Center District Board and $80 from the county, but it's something like that. And then the city, it's about $45 million. They're going to do about $35 of it in building a parking structure, which I think is a good investment because then the parking cost will be the cost that the city will have as an ongoing revenue stream that will be able to assist them. And then the other $10 million that the city was doing, $12 million is in TIF. So short version, you know, I do like the fact that it's spread across more than just the backs of the Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee taxpayers or on the back of Milwaukee County taxpayers. And the Center District Board gives responsibility for anyone who actually comes and participates in our industry, our hotel and, you know, entertainment district and industry, so to say. So short version to all of that, yes, I basically support the concept of something happening for the arena because we can't afford to lose the Bucks because it would be a negative at least $6.5 million a year right now that the state gets in revenue, not to mention we'd be holding the bag for that property, that Bradley Center. If it was empty, we'd be holding the bag for that property, and we would have to not figure out what to do not having a tenant. So I am supportive, but I still have to be critical of, is this or is this not financially the best way that we can do it?
We are talking with Lena Taylor, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, the ranking Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. She's giving us her take on the latest on the Bucks Arena negotiations, and we're asking for your questions and your views. Do you think that taxpayers should help finance a new Milwaukee Bucks arena? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm going to go to Scott in Green Bay first. Hi, Scott.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I don't think that we should, taxpayers should have to subsidize a billionaire's business. Also, there's sports writer Dave Zirin. He writes a column on the Edge of Sports. He wrote one book completely on sports owners in every different sport, and he came to the conclusion that he believes that not a dime of public taxpayer dollars should go to a sporting team unless taxpayers get ownership stake in the team.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We have talked to that columnist, that author before. But Senator Taylor, Scott voices what many voice with the claim that taxpayers shouldn't subsidize sports arenas at all. Let the owners, the billionaires, take care of it.
And I completely hear him, as well as I hear the concerns that he has articulated. I think our reality is slightly different. And the number one reality that's different is that we still owe $20 million on the Bradley Center, the BMO Harris Bradley Center in downtown Milwaukee. We don't get to walk away from that. That's $20 million that we owe. And it takes $100 million in order to just do maintenance on the building. So, you know, we're on the hook for that amount of money. And that doesn't change. And so I respect that the desire would be for us not to do X, Y, or Z, but this is a revenue stream for us also to get revenue in the state that we spend. We don't give it back to Milwaukee. We don't give it back to the players. We take it and we use it as general purpose revenue that we are able to do something with. And so those are our realities, as well as tourism is a huge component of the economy for Milwaukee. It's a huge component for many communities across the state of Wisconsin. And frankly, it's a driver for Wisconsin, especially when you consider our parks and that kind of thing. Entertainment through going to basketball and football events are truly major drivers for revenue for various communities. So that is something that, you know, we have to also respect, that this isn't just about an arena. This really is about being a part of an economic engine. And then I'll end with this. You know, I don't mind the concept of saying that people could be owners in a team, except the problem is that that's not the rules of the NBA. Wish it was different, because I'd love to be having a team that's set up like the Green Bay Packers for the Bucks.
Nick in Whitewater is with us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, I have a good morning first and quick question.
Good morning, Nick.
Has there been any talk about taxing anything Bucks? Their merchandise, their concessions, profits, the owner's profits, anything related to that, to kind of localize or specialize the taxing on the people who are enjoying the entertainment?
Candidly, since I've not been in the room, Nick, I can't tell you if there's ever been any discussion related to that, but those discussions, if they have been true, have not bubbled up to the surface to suggest that, that those suggestions have been made or have been made and have been appreciated.
Stephen emails, I think this is a choice which reflects the values of our state. Should taxpayer dollars fund a new sports arena or fund a world-class university system? I hope Wisconsin makes the right decision. A reaction to that, Senator Taylor?
There is no question that at a time that we are doing some of the worst cuts to the UW system that they've had consistently across all three of Governor Walker's budgets. In addition to that, the governor who made the worst cuts to K-12 education in the history of our state, and that they've not been able to recover from that, and that our investment in each of our children across the state of Wisconsin in education has reduced. Those are very real issues that I can understand why Wisconsinites feel like, well, if we're doing that, how can we, you know, do an arena for the Bucks? So I want to, you know, say that there is no question that I agree that our priorities and Wisconsin's values have always reflected that education should be a priority, and that's surely something that I've argued as I sit on the Finance Committee. But I will say that I don't believe it that we can look at it in that way. And a perfect example of that is we still have a $20 million obligation on the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. And if we don't build a new arena, the NBA has already said the Bucks will leave. So I think I don't think that it's wise. I don't think that it's a fair analogy or comparison when we know that we have this $20 million obligation, that if we don't do something, they're gone. And we have to pay that. And we have to then potentially do the maintenance because the building will still be there. And if we have an empty building with no tenant, just like if you have an empty house that you own and no tenant, they still expect you to pay the mortgage. So those are real realities that we can't dismiss. We can't dismiss all of the obligations that we have in the state. What the issue is that our governor has made horrible choices. And, you know, gave away tax credits and refuses to delay tax credits and grants that could be delayed in order for us to have the money that we need. If we accepted the Medicaid dollars, we'd have the money that we need in order to be able to address not only the UW system concerns, but frankly, if we also delayed the agriculture and the manufacturing tax credits, we would be able to not only deal with the education issue, but we'd be able to deal with other issues that exist in the budget. So it is about priorities. The problem is, I think the priorities that the GOP have chosen truly are priorities that are not Wisconsin. It's a budget that's wrong for Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, we just have a couple of minutes left with you, Senator Taylor. Maybe some people are saying, well, big deal. How big of a blow would it be if the Bucks left Wisconsin? How big of a blow to Wisconsin's economy?
Oh, my goodness, a huge blow to Wisconsin's economy and to Milwaukee's economy. I mean, the truth of the matter is, how goes Wisconsin is how Milwaukee goes. And so if Milwaukee is not a strong engine, then truly it will make it difficult because it is our number one tourism destination. It is, you know, our largest city in the state. So those dollars, $120 million that we would have to end up investing in an antiquated building is a problem with no tenant in the downtown Milwaukee area. Opportunity for the state to free itself up from the obligation and maybe give it back to the areas that people feel it should be locally. And so, you know, the other piece is anytime you can stimulate your economy with economic development of $500 million project for the arena, as well as another at least $500 million, they're saying, on residential business and other entities around it. You know, those are positive things. So I don't think we want to lose that. And clearly we know the benefit of having a team that does well and what it brings in so many ways for a community and for a state, because we're proud to be supporters of the Green Bay Packers. And it's the same concept.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
Lena Taylor, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, ranking Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will or could be voting on the Bucks Arena proposal this week. We will get a different perspective on taxpayer financing of a new Milwaukee Bucks Arena coming up after we check the latest news. We'll welcome in Bruce Murphy, editor of UrbanMilwaukee.com and the author of the site's Murphy's Law column. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Should taxpayers help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena, or should this be done with private funds only? We are discussing the latest plan to help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. The reported proposal would split the $500 million cost between taxpayers and current and former team owners. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The Joint Finance Committee could take up this controversial issue this week. And we have been talking with different guests, and we hope you too. We just heard from State Senator Lena Taylor, the ranking Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, who was making the case for some public financing of the Milwaukee Bucks Arena. Now we'll get a different take. Bruce Murphy is the editor of UrbanMilwaukee.com, author of the site's Murphy's Law column, and his most recent column was saying why this reported plan needs to be rejected. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's wrong with this plan?
Well, it's basically a handout, a taxpayer's handout to business that you wouldn't find for any other business. And this is, you know, this is how it works in the country. I think everybody knows it's civic blackmail. If you don't come through with a big tax subsidy, then we're going to move the team to another city. And, you know, this has gone on for a long time. I extensively covered the Miller Park controversy with the Milwaukee Brewers. As far as I know, I'm the only reporter who fully tallied all of the tax exemptions and subsidies built into that plan. The total was more than $1.1 billion, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, so should taxpayer money play any role in paying for the arena?
Well, if you look at this plan, there's one small part of it that's more what you'd find for business, and that the city has talked about doing a tax incremental financing plan, which is commonly used in the state to try to help businesses, and it provides a certain amount of support for infrastructure around where the business is located and the like, and the money is recovered from, you know, property development that happens in the future that generates taxes.
Yeah. What about Senator Taylor's argument that the state already has a stake in what's going on in Milwaukee because of the Bradley Center?
Yeah, that's the argument that's been made. The reason that the state has a stake, and by the way, it's a pretty small one. To date, I think they've given $10 million to the Bradley Center. But the reason there's any money needed from the state is because the way the Bradley Center is run is it tries to generate all revenue it can and give it to the Bucks. So as an example, the Marquette University basketball team, the Milwaukee Admirals hockey team, a big chunk of the revenue that their games generate actually is spun off to the Bucks. And so what's happened over time is they haven't been spending enough on maintenance of the Bradley Center because so much of the money goes to the Bucks.
And you called it civic blackmail, but she also argues that the NBA says the Bucks will leave if they don't have, a better arena. And that's going to be a tremendous financial blow to the state. What do you say to that?
Well, no, it won't be. You know, the Milwaukee Braves left. Old timers will remember that. And there actually was a researcher who took a look at before and after the Braves and found really no loss economically to the city. The reality is people have only so much money to spend on entertainment, and if they don't spend it on the Bucks or the Brewers, they'll spend it on something else. It's quite unlikely that, to say that that money wouldn't be spun off for the economy, you would say, well, that instead people will save that money, which really isn't very likely.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Bruce Murphy. He is saying why the proposal to finance a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks should be rejected, and we wonder what you think. What questions you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have lots of callers, so let's go to John in Oconomowoc. Hello, John.
Good morning. I'm just wondering if there's been any discussion and what that discussion has been about how overruns in the construction process will be handled. You know, we've talked about a lot of numbers to, quote, build this, but, of course, it's going to cost a lot more than that in the end. And I'm just wondering if part of the negotiations have dealt with that process.
That's a very good question, because as we know with Miller Park, this sales tax to support the construction of Miller Park has gone on and on, and has gone on to pay for things that I think were not envisioned when the original legislation was passed. I mean, we've now had that sales tax in place, I think, about 20 years, nearly 20 years. So, and I think always what a sports team wants is they'd like to have some kind of tax that doesn't quit. It seems to me a likely candidate is they're talking about this Wisconsin Center District tax. This is the car rental and hotel tax that is used to support the building, that was used to support the building of the convention center and to support tourism in the city. And they're going to somehow try to raise $200 million from that over a long period of time. So it's possible that that tax would continue to support the Bucks after the arena is built. The devil is always in the details on this, and the details usually are the sort of thing that the average citizen doesn't pay attention to. A classic example here would be they're talking about this the Milwaukee County contribution at this point is going to be they're going to certify uncollectible debt to the state so that the state can collect it to help support this arena. Just how uncollectible this debt is, isn't really, we're not clear on this. If it isn't collected, it's likely that what the state would do is simply reduce its state aid to the county. One way or the other, it's likely to come from the taxpayers. But it's such a murky area that it's very hard for average voters to understand.
Let's go to Gary in Ripon next. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. When a nonprofit organization called Wisconsin Public Radio was having its state funding reduced, it was told that it needed to raise more money on its own. So when a for-profit entity like the Milwaukee Bucks going this way, why shouldn't they be told the same thing?
Well, that's a good question, and I would simply add to that, it's worth keeping in mind that the owners of the Bucks are some of the wealthiest people on the planet. The combined wealth of the three main owners of the Bucks is in excess of $5 billion. And of course, you have the ball players who are all millionaires. So what we're bailing out here is really, you know, if you talk about the wealth gap in the U.S., I think a big contributor to the wealth gap is what's happening with sports franchises across the country.
And this is standard operating procedure, though, isn't it, Bruce? Millionaire or billionaire owners get taxpayer subsidies or help in financing their sports arenas?
Well, it absolutely is. And I will say one thing that's worth noting here. If you're a politician, in some ways you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You don't really want to be the politician, say, Governor Scott Walker or Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, who gets blamed for losing the Bucks, or before that the Brewers, because, well, you didn't figure out a way to keep them in the state. On the other hand, if you do come through with a subsidy, we can all remember what happened to State Senator George Petak in the Racine area. He was recalled from office. Citizens of Racine were so outraged by the sales tax that was passed and, you know, legalized in five counties, including Racine County, to pay for Miller Park.
Yeah. Ron emails, reflecting back, how do you feel about the Menominee Kenosha Casino's offer to pay this bill?
Well, it was a very fascinating offer. Basically, they were saying, we're going to build this casino in the Kenosha area. It would have competed definitely with the Potawatomi Casino in Milwaukee, though it also probably would have drawn a lot of gamblers and customers from northern Illinois. And they were saying, we can build into this. We'll still make money on the casino, but we'll also spin off enough money to pay for the Bucks Stadium, Bucks Arena. To me, it sounded like a pretty interesting idea that at the very least was well worth exploring. And what happened is Governor Walker ruled it out of hand. And what Walker claimed, and as did his, at that time, head of the Department of Administration, claimed, was that there would be legal problems with this if it happened. And the interesting thing about this is that the state did hire a lawyer to look into this, and he didn't find that it would be much of a legal problem.
Hmm. Well, we have just a minute to go. What's your message to the Joint Finance Committee as it gets ready to take up this issue?
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is at this point, in terms of the state funding, originally the state was going to pay for the vast majority of this. The local taxpayers in Milwaukee were only going to pay for 7% of the whole plan. Now it's up to 80% Milwaukee taxpayers. So the state percentage is way down. My basic message to them would be the devil is in the details. You have to really nail down every specific instance of what kind of subsidies are going to happen, what kind of tax exemptions, because there are always all these sort of stealth taxes that we end up paying for because they haven't really been tracked carefully.
Good enough. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bruce Murphy, editor of UrbanMilwaukee.com, author of the site's Murphy's Law column. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction and to Kayla Blato for on-air production. And thanks for all of your interest. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's another edition of On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.